Philippians 5. Philippians 2, 5. Philippians 2, 5. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Okay, are we straight now? Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Okay, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he hung to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, even above his name, okay? That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of those in heaven, of those on earth, of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So although we see Jesus referring, he says, I don't speak my own words. I speak the things that the Father, he's submitting to the Father. The Holy Spirit doesn't magnify himself. He magnifies Jesus. The Father lifts up Jesus. So what we're seeing is a submission of all three. Now, each one of them have a different role that they perform. And let me give you, I want to read to you a creed here, but I want to go to this first. God the Father is the master planner. He is the designer. That's what he did. He designed. It was in the heart of God. Now the Spirit, the Word and the Spirit had part in that, but God's role is that of designer. The Son, he does the will of God the Father. His role is to serve God the Father. He is the Savior of the world, Lord of lords and King of kings, who will reign forever. He is the Savior. Then the Holy Spirit's role is, let me get to my notes. The Holy Spirit's role is to minister to Christians while we're here in this earth. He ministers to those of us in extensive numbers of ways, such as making us Christians, which is the new birth, baptizing us into Christ, the sealing of the Spirit, the indwelling of the Spirit, the changing our characters, and giving us spiritual gifts. So those are the things that the Holy Spirit does. That's His role. So each of them has roles that they do, but they are in perfect harmony and unity in what they do, and they submit to one another in everything that they do. But we see Jesus being magnified by the Father, we see Jesus magnifying the Father, and we see the Holy Spirit magnifying Jesus. So it's a perfect unity that they have. Now I want to read a creed. This is like 300 something AD. It's called the Athanasian Creed. This is one of the early church creeds. And this is one of the first Christian creeds that really address the Trinity issue. Now, I don't know if you know it or not, the fact of the Trinity is a very controversial subject in lots of Christian organizations. It really is. Your grandbaby's already laughing? So in lots of Christian organizations, there are certain ones that do not believe in the Trinity. There's certain Pentecostal groups that do not believe in the Trinity. And the word Trinity is not in the Bible, but the concept is there. In fact, they believe that you baptize in Jesus' name only. We baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But here's the part of the Athanasian Creed. And this, let me read this and listen. We worship one God in Trinity, and in Trinity unity, neither confounding the person, nor divided in the substance or the essence. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, another of the Holy Spirit. But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit is all one. The glory equal, the majesty co-eternal, Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit. The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, and the Holy Spirit uncreated. The Father incomprehensible, that means unlimited. The Son unlimited, and the Holy Spirit unlimited, or infinite. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Spirit eternal. And yet they are not three eternals, but one eternal. As also there is not three uncreated, nor three incomprehensibles, but one uncreated and one incomprehensible. So likewise, the Father is almighty, the Son is almighty, and the Holy Spirit is almighty. He goes to pains here to, because there was so much controversy about some people believe that the Father created the Son and the Father created the Holy Spirit. So that he's addressing this. And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. And yet there are not three gods, but one God. So likewise, the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, and the Holy Spirit is Lord. And yet there are three lords, but one, there are not yet three lords, but one Lord. And in this Trinity, none is afore, or none are after another, none is greater or less than another. But the whole three persons are co-eternal and co-equal, so that in all things, as aforesaid, the unity in Trinity and the Trinity in unity is to be worshipped. So I thought that was good. If you'd like a copy of that, I'll make some copies of that. You might want to look at that and study that a little bit. Okay, Mark West sent me some questions. And let me find it. Oh dear. I'm starting out with the easy questions, if there are any easy questions. This is a good question. How do I know if it's the Holy Spirit speaking to me? Do we believe the Holy Spirit speaks? You know, the Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's God, and He lives in us. And how do I know if it's the Holy Spirit speaking to me? I think the first thing that we have to look at is, who is it that talks to us? Now, the Holy Spirit doesn't really talk from out here. He talks from in here. Okay? He talks from in here. But there are three, we can hear three different voices in here. Okay? Number one, you can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Number two, you can hear your own thoughts. Number three, the enemy can plant thoughts in your mind. Okay? So, how do I know if it's the Holy Spirit speaking to me? That's a good question. I wished I had the answer. Let me give you some thoughts. Let me give you some thoughts on this. And if you have scriptures, hey, I'll be glad for you to share those too. But how do I know if it's the Holy Spirit speaking to me? Number one, the greatest thing, how we can judge if it's the Holy Spirit speaking to us, He never speaks contrary to what the Bible says. Okay? He'll never say anything to you contrary to the Word. Never, ever, ever. When we're talking about how that there's perfect unity in the Father and the Son and the Spirit, and the Son is the Word. So if the Holy Spirit said something different than the Word said, the Holy Spirit would be saying something different than the Son says, and that don't happen. Okay? So if it's recorded in our Word, that is the highest order that we have to go with, is the Word. You say, well, what if I can't find the Word on it? Then look for the principle of the Word. There's, the Word doesn't say that you're supposed to marry that red-headed girl with long hair and a short dress. So how did I know who to marry? It doesn't say in the Bible who you're supposed to marry. So if the Lord is leading us in this, how do we discern who that is? Okay? You have to go back to the principle of what the Word says. I don't care how good she looked in that long red hair and that short dress. First of all, if she was not a follower of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit was not leading me to her. That's my flesh. Now, your flesh will lead you, especially when it comes to that area. And we know that. And I see so many people who make mistakes because of a physical attraction. We make something physical, very spiritual, fast if we're not careful. Oh, I know God's speaking to me. No, that's your hormones. There's a difference in hormones and the Holy Spirit. So you go back to the principle of the Word of God. You have to set certain things in order. And I knew that when I wanted a wife, I was looking for somebody that I could marry. I did not want to date just to date. I never was one to date just to date. If they were not serious wife material, I wasn't interested. I would just not have a girlfriend before I would do that. That's just the way I'm put together. And so when I saw her, immediately the hormone thing was there. The attraction, we call it the physical attraction. And do you know, this is a side note, but don't you know that physical attraction is hormonal attraction? Okay? There's something on the inside of us, our brains and our other places that triggers the release of hormones. Okay? And that is normal and that's God given. But that is not the Holy Spirit. That is not the way that you pick a mate. Now are you holding his ear so he won't hear this? You're gonna have to, if I don't explain it to him, you're gonna have to explain it to him. He's asleep, I know. We're having fun with this because I'm getting red. And you have to talk this way. We got teenagers out here and we got single men and women here. And I see so many people that make stupid mistakes because of hormonal attraction. Now it's good, and I think that you ought to be attracted to the person that you're going to marry, but if that is your criteria, you are not following the Holy Spirit. There's a checklist that we ought to have that comes from the principles of the Word of God. Number one has to do with, are they a believer? Now I'll tell you, not every believer is compatible. Oh, they're a Christian, let's get married. No, 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 no. Divorce in the church is as high as it is in the world, and that's a shame. And it's because we're not listening to what the Holy Spirit is trying to show us. So we have to have the checklist, and this comes to us as we renew our minds with the Word of God, because it's so important that anything we do, that we're led by the principles of the Word of God. Okay, so that's one of them. If it's not in black and white in the Bible, you go back to the principles of the Word, and it covers every area of life. And here's just an observation, just me. If I see something that I can't live without, and I gotta have it now, that's not the Holy Spirit. If I see a car and I want it now, that's not the Holy Spirit. If you see somebody of the opposite sex and you want them now, that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not work that way. Then there's something called the witness of the Spirit. And this is when as we become new creatures in Christ and the Spirit of Christ lives within us and the Holy Spirit lives within us. Romans 8:16, and this is going to tie into the other question that we're probably not going to get to. We might. The Spirit Himself thus testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are the children of God. So there's something called the witness or the what's the King James word? Bears witness. That's it. Bears witness. That's one Greek word. And the Amplified says assuring us or testifies together with our spirit. Now this is a spirit to spirit contact. This is not always something that is logical or makes sense. This has nothing to do with your emotions. This has nothing to do with any of that. This is His Spirit and your Spirit bearing witness. Now, here's the message. Here's what the message says. God's Spirit touches our spirit and confirms who we really are. He touched the inside, not the outside. Another, the New Living Translation says, "For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are the children of God." Now, let's illustrate some things this way. Should we be able to meet other people? And will the Holy Spirit lead us about other people's sincerity or their intentions? Or should Christians recognize other Christians? Should there be a bearing witness? I think so. The Holy Spirit desires to guide us in our everyday life. And you know what? Okay, let's use some things. There are things that bear witness, and there are things that don't bear witness. We need to learn to listen when something doesn't bear witness. When something, you know, something, somebody says something, and it doesn't just seem right, you need to mark that. That may be the Holy Spirit trying to tell you something. Or you can see something and you have a connection. You have a joining and you say, yes, that bears witness. Or that doesn't bear witness. These are not black and white things. So how do we know if the Holy Spirit is speaking to me? Number one, He speaks through the Word. Number two, if we don't have a direct word on it, we go back to the principles of the Word. And then number three is the direct witness of the Holy Spirit with our spirit. And if you know, if right now is the time to move, and you, if you don't move now, if you don't buy right now, it's going to pass you on by. Let it pass you on by. Because that's pressure. The Holy Spirit does not work by fear. He does not work by pressure. He does not work by frustration. I see people get frustrated and they think God's leading them. No. No. That's not God leading you. God leads you out of peace. You know, the Bible talks about letting peace be the umpire in our heart. If you don't have peace about something, you don't go. Okay? You don't do it. You just don't go. You wait. You let God open those things. And until you have peace, you don't go or you don't step in that direction. Because the Spirit of God will speak to you about everything in your life. About your job, about who you're to marry, to who your friends are supposed to be, your associations. Those things the Spirit of God will speak to you. It's not always easy to know. Okay? It's not, because there's not a sign in the heaven. Let me tell you something you don't need to do. They did this in the Old Testament, but they did not have the Holy Spirit living in them in the Old Testament. They put out fleeces. You ever done, well, Lord, if you want me to do this, then let this happen. You're fixing to get fleeced. Lord, if you want me to date that girl, let this happen. Uh-huh. You may hook up with a devil. Okay? You may be in trouble. He's not leading us by signs in the sky. Airplane's not going to ride in the sky. It's inward. The Holy Spirit works on the inside of us. This is your GPS. This is your radar. This is your sonar. This is your compass. This is your guide. And you need to develop, and it takes some time to develop some of these things. The things that are black and white ought never even be a question. The things that are clearly stated in the Word should never be a question. It's the areas that we call the gray areas. It's where we have to learn to develop and learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. Okay. Is that a good answer? Got anything to add to that? Huh? That'll work? Okay, I got 2 minutes and I'm going to introduce this one. I do want some questions. Dudes, dudettes, send me some questions. I've got several, and I've got some about the gifts of the Spirit, but I'm saving those for later. We got some tongues questions. We got some of those questions. Going to save those for later. Schroeder sent me one. Marcus sent me some. And somebody else sent me some. Ashley and somebody else. But anyway, does the Spirit come and go? Now that's an interesting question. Does the Spirit come and go? 1 John 3:24. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. This says that he abides in us. And that word abides means not to depart, to continue to be present. So you might ask the question, why does God seem so far away sometimes? And I always like to say this, if God seems far away, guess who moved? Okay? If you want to shun the counsel of God, if you want to push away that relationship and that intimacy with God, He will seem far away, but He won't be there because He's there. He may be silent, and He may seem far away from you, but it's because you have shunned His counsel. It's because you have, and you need to go back to that place of obedience, and you need to go back to that place of seeking God and seeking His guidance. But the Holy Spirit does not come and go. Now, there are times in the Bible where it talks about the Holy Spirit came upon. Okay? The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He is everywhere at the same time. But there are times that He manifests and it seems like He comes and goes. He doesn't. He never leaves the believer. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is always here. He is always indwelling us. We are always in connection with Him, but we're not always hearing from Him because we're the ones that have turned the GPS off. Okay? It's not Him, it's us. And when God seems silent, we need to start examining our heart because He is there. And it just, God has forsaken me. No, probably you've forsaken something with God. He hasn't forsaken you. He's right there waiting on you. You need to reconnect with Him because He is there. Okay, got to stop. Amen. Where is Tammy?